940 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The support of all six Wisconsin Republicans was not enough to keep Kevin McCarthy from being ousted as U.S. House Speaker. Most Republicans backed McCarthy in yesterday's ouster vote, but Democrats declined to make up the votes the former Speaker lost to eight members of the right-wing Freedom Caucus. They opposed McCarthy over government spending. Removing the Speaker will effectively paralyze Congress until a new Speaker is elected. Sarah Godlewski says she never made a deal to drop out of last year's U.S. Senate race in order to become Secretary of State. Nate Wegehout has more.
Some Republicans have accused Godlewski of making a secret deal with Governor Evers, but she said the position shocked even her. Godlewski also added that no special election was needed to fill the seat vacated by Doug LaFollette. Godlewski pointed to the two Supreme Court seats that were filled by former Governor Scott Walker.
This is the way the system works, is that when you elect a governor, they have the ability to appoint when an office vacates.
Godlewski spoke with the Devil's Advocates radio show last night. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's a big week for the Brewers. They play an elimination game in the playoffs tonight, and state lawmakers are holding a hearing on a bill tomorrow to keep the team in Wisconsin with taxpayer money. Democratic Senator Chris Larson, though, calls the current deal extortion.
They are basically saying, you know, give us a great deal of money more than we're already getting on a regular basis. And in exchange, you get nothing.
Republican Representative Rob Brooks wrote the bill. It takes $600 million from taxpayers and $100 million from the Brewers to maintain American Family Field until 2050. Brooks says everyone negotiating is on the same page.
We want to keep the Brewers. So when we're starting from an agreement that we want to do something, now it's a matter of details. And we can always work through those.
Larson and Brooks spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Mental health advocates say the stigma of suicide prevents many people from getting help. Joyce Morissette is with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She says talking to someone about suicide doesn't trigger them to act. Instead, she says it starts a helpful conversation.
In order to have a public health approach to suicide, we need to be able to acknowledge it and talk openly about suicide.
Almost 50,000 Americans committed suicide last year. The man who created the Green Bay Packers' iconic helmet logo has died. John Gordon was an art student at St. Norbert College when the team approached him about it in 1961. He came up with it in less than a day. Gordon was 83 years old. His funeral is today in Green Bay. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Parents are being warned about the risks of AI-generated nude photos. In Muskego, police received a report from the parents of a middle school girl who had befriended someone she believed was a 15-year-old boy on Snapchat. After sharing innocent pictures, it was revealed that the person was actually a 33-year-old man who demanded explicit photos, threatening to manipulate the innocent ones to appear graphic if he didn't receive them. During a recent city council meeting in Franklin, concerns regarding noise levels at the Rock Sports Complex were discussed. The proposed agreement outlined different decibel limits for Milwaukee Milkmen games, extraordinary events, and fireworks, but specific limits were not specified. Some residents expressed skepticism about the effectiveness of acoustic fencing and the proposed agreement. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers lose game one to Arizona. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers jumped out to an early lead, then stalled the final seven innings of the game, losing 6-3 last night to the Diamondbacks in game one of the wild card playoff series. The Brewers were up 3-0 before starter Corbin Burns gave up four runs, including two home runs back-to-back. Burns after the loss.
The offense did a great job coming out and swinging the bats and scoring runs early. And I just did a poor job after that of executing pitches.
Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello.
You know, you get a pitcher like Corbin Burns out of the game in the fifth inning, you're doing a lot right. And he's not winning, you've done a lot right.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell made a strange substitution in the eighth, replacing Bryce Turang with Jesse Winker, who had not batted in the majors since July and appeared to have injured himself on his first swing at bat. Counsell after the game.
He has an oblique issue there. I haven't spoken with the trainers yet to see where we're at with it.
Arizona has now beat Milwaukee 5 out of 7 meetings this year.
You know, in a three-game series, you lose game one, your back's up against the wall. And you've faced adversity, and we got to respond to it.
Game two of the best-of-three series is tonight at 6:08 in Milwaukee with Arizona's Zach Gallen against the Brewers' Freddie Peralta, in for Brandon Woodruff. College football, the Badgers getting ready to host Rutgers Saturday, kickoff 11 a.m. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
They do a great job at managing the game. Just from the big picture of things, that if you ask me what Coach Schiano does a great job of, it's being who they are. You know, I'd say that's who Rutgers is in a nutshell.
NFL, the Packers holding practice before their road trip to Vegas to take on the Raiders. Defensive back Eric Stokes says he's trying to find a way back on the field behind Jair Alexander or Rasul Douglas.
I'm fitting in wherever they need me at. Like, I know we already got a good little thing going with Sewell, Jai, and Key and all that stuff. So, like, wherever they need me, I'm going to fit in. Like, hey, man, wherever y'all need me, I'm fitting in, and I'm just happy to be back.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I
can dig it. Stop. Right on.
What's up, man?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
All right. Did you get out yesterday and enjoy the weather?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, man. just checking, because today is going to be it for a long time. But anyway, on the line, my co-host on Mondays and Fridays, none other than Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Yeah, you're right. It's cloudy. This is maybe the turning point weather-wise. It's cloudy in Washington, too.
Well, you know, you added weather-wise. But, you know, you've always said, is this what you meant by dog catches car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is another situation, very same thing. And in fact, some of his colleagues said about Matt Getz that he had no plan after this. You know, there isn't a plan. Now, you know, they shut down the government, no plan what to do about it. They didn't accomplish it because McCarthy intervened. Now they shut down and get rid of McCarthy, but they have no plan. They have no preferred candidate. It's just, it's theater.
Man, over and over again, you've been just hammering away at what is the plan after, right? What are you guys, if you get what you're looking for, what is the plan? You've reiterated that over and over again over the last couple months, Sandy, and now it's here.
Yeah. You know, it... And, you know, I guess the Democrats assisted it by not simply voting present and letting him get reelected by just the Republicans who voted. But, I think McCarthy seems to have singed his tail feathers with a whole bunch of people. Adam Schiff certainly is not a fan.
Well, you know, McCarthy, he did. I remember after 15 votes, he basically sold his soul to the devil, and it was inevitable. And I remember you and I having conversations about it taking 15 different times for him to get the seat. And what he did was, you know, because I had conversations with some of my Republican buddies on yesterday who blamed the Democrats for this. Well, you know, they could have saved him, but Sandy, I don't remember Republicans voting for Nancy Pelosi at any point. Democrats certainly had to make a decision on whether or not they were going to save McCarthy's hide. But McCarthy, you know, said some things over the weekend that probably sealed his fate. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Well, he wasn't willing to make any concessions. I guess I don't know what concessions they sought, but he wasn't willing to compromise with them in any fashion. They were probably going to be procedural kind of concessions, swinging a little more weight in the minority's direction. But yeah, so he's done. You know, and look at the number of Republican speakers who have left Washington in frustration. He's talking about not even staying in Congress, McCarthy. But you've got Boehner and Paul Ryan as some of the other ex-speaker sort of detritus, people who do it and wash their hands of it.
Well, but Sandy, what does it really say about the Republican Party right now? You know, it is clearly in total disarray. It clearly is, you know, at a point where Donald Trump clearly is probably at the head of it, you know, and so, you know, well, I don't know if we can say Donald Trump is at the head of it, but you know, Mitch McConnell, you would say is probably at the head of the party right now. Is it safe to say that?
Mitch McConnell.
He's got the most power.
He has the most power. I don't know how much cohesion there is between Senate Republicans and House Republicans. Seems to be very little, actually. So, you know, I think Washington is broken. And I think, in particular, I think both sides of the aisle are broken, but I think the fractures in the Republican side of the aisle are much more obvious and I think much deeper.
But Sandy, we've known.
And I think that has everything to do with Donald Trump because, those who adopt his cult leadership form one group, and then there are the rest of who would declare themselves to be Republicans.
So we know it's been broken for some time. But this, I watched the entire House debate on the floor yesterday. And it really was a spectacle to behold, Sandy. And Getz, even today, you know, I don't know if he'll ever be able to. You know, what is a conservative, Sandy, today? You know, when we talk about conservatives and all the conservative Republicans that I listened to speak on yesterday who supported Kevin McCarthy, if you listen to Matt Getz, none of them live up to what the moniker of a conservative is. Not based on what Matt Getz believes.
Yeah, I mean, I think while McCarthy seems to be fairly flexible as a politician in terms of ideology, willing to migrate towards the center of power, you know, like the analogy I've used, moth to a plane, but I think that there are Republicans who have an actual conservative ideology, some of it libertarian in style, some of it maybe just fiscal conservatism. I don't know, but you know, those are the brands of conservatism that were driven ideologically. Donald Trump has no ideology. He just has the ideology of Donald Trump is basically to migrate power in the direction of Donald Trump, so that he can do whatever. And I'm not sure that people who back him could predict to you what he will do with the power that he would have were he to be handed it. So that's not a conservative ideology. That's something different.
You know, Sandy, the acting speaker, and maybe people could say, well, what's this guy's name? Got it right here.
Patrick McHenry.
Yeah,
Patrick McHenry.
McHenry. One of the first things he did was remove Nancy Pelosi from the office that she's been in. With all the issues, Sandy, that are going on, he does something like that as if that somehow, what is sending a message? What kind of message is that sending? That he's concerned about Nancy Pelosi being in an office. Come on, man.
Well, you know, I think they had bestowed that upon her as an ex-speaker.
I know, but
I think they decided that since the Democrats sat on their hands, well, didn't sit on their hands, which they and voted that they're essentially attributing that to her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is true.
The Democrats could have avoided the chaos, but that's like pointing the finger at the kid who doesn't have a babysitter. because in the past, caucuses have been expected to elect their speaker themselves by voting unanimously in favor of the speaker that the caucus selects when they come to the floor.
So Sandy, the impact of this, again, never done before in the history of our government, the impact of this, Sandy, especially now with a 2024 election cycle around the corner, is this going to have any impact in your opinion?
Well, yeah, I think it will. I think the demonstrated chaos of the party, it does not attract independents in the direction of that party. So to the extent that people think they're voting for parties and not people, the Republican Party is in disarray.
You know, Sandy, it's not only the Republican Party that's in disarray. It's now the government totally, because what can get accomplished during this time? Clearly, they're not going to come up with a new speaker in a week or so. Is it safe to say that?
Well, if history is any experience, first of all, there are the names that people have come up with.
Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan. Yeah. I mean, come on, Jim Jordan.
Most of them were quick to say they weren't interested.
Well, Jim Jordan is interested, but he would be 100 times worse than McCarthy. But go ahead.
Well, I'd be amazed if Jim Jordan could get the majority of that caucus. So, they've had trouble getting speakers. I remember they had to essentially draft Paul Ryan to get a speaker. So,
So you don't see this happening soon?
No, I mean, I hate to predict what happens in terms of Republican politics, but my sense is that they have disarray, that they don't have a clear leadership, that they have the probability of needing to have some Democratic help in order to solve the impasse they have in their caucus. And so I don't know how that plays out. You know, the Democrats are going to simply nominate Hakeem Jeffries on each round and vote for him, and leave the Republicans in a position where they have to be essentially unanimous to elect their speaker.
Which seems highly unlikely based on the debate that I saw on yesterday. But, you know, anything's possible. Listen, I see you, Tom. My phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. My co-host Sandy Williams has joined me, for this first hour of the show, and you can join us at 844-967-2789. Really, an earth-shattering thing occurred on yesterday, and I thought it was important that we have Sandy weigh in on it. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're.
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 55. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 71. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Hey.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams has joined me today, and it is true. Smiling faces sometimes don't tell the truth. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. All right, Tom, you there? All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
Yeah, well, let's see. The wonderful Republican Party tried to throw America into default by voting against extending the budget. Whine continuously about the border, do nothing about what they say is a crisis. Blockade for Ukraine. They're holding investigations into Joe Biden with no evidence, and they're still threatening to impeach him. And now they remove McCarthy. By the way, you said you listened to those that great hearing.
Yeah, the whole 3 hours. Yeah.
They whined about the debt, blaming Biden, who's actually reduced the deficit. While they're not willing to reverse their $2 trillion in welfare to the billionaires that they passed a while back, they're whining. They whined there about the border crisis, again, blaming Biden, but they don't even have a proposal on the table. And, oh, yeah, they just did a wonderful, wonderful continuing resolution until the middle of November. Wow, what an extension. And then again, there's no actual budget. But they've got to spend time diddling around removing McCarthy, and now they're going to spend even more time because they can't, unless they have a speaker, the House can't do anything. The speaker has to decide what bills to put forward and such. They can't do anything until they have another speaker, and they're going to have one for a while. It took them 15 rounds the last time in several days. I wonder what's going to happen this time. It kind of reminds me, there's an old Yeah, something I heard Steve Goodman sing called "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" And with the Republicans, my answer would be nothing.
All right, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to anything Jack said?
Well, you know, the only fallacy of what Jack said is that if they reconvene, they will do nothing as well. I mean, the history in Washington has been that the Congress has been accomplishing nothing. And the list that he had of, for instance, no budget proposal from the Republicans other than an 8% across-the-board cut, that's not a budget proposal. That's not even a policy-based proposal. So, you know, I'm afraid what we've got is dysfunction. Now what we have is manifest chaotic dysfunction. When we had a speaker, we simply had sort of the familial sort of hidden dysfunction. But it's not working.
Well, you know, Sandy, not only is it not working, let's go to Jack, Tom from LA. Hey, good morning to you, Tom.
Earl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Sandy, I got a couple questions. I know you like to somehow play down the middle if you can, and I'm going to push back a little bit because I want to ask you, what policy have the Republicans, well, which the Republican Party is dead, by the way. It's called the Chaotic Party now is what I guess it's called. But, Sandy, what policy have Republicans put up that has helped child care, medical care, mortgage, or taxes for the working class, middle class people? Because I know you want to say it's kind of both sides and, oh, Democrats could have saved them. That may all be true. But you know what? The Republican Party does not believe in government, does not believe in we are the people. And because of that, they're getting exactly what they are, which is the chaotic party. But I want you to answer that question. I'd also like to know, since Eisenhower, what have the Republican Party put forth that has been good for working class people rather than their donors?
All right, you know? Tom, we got it. Thank you very much for the call. Well, Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, my middle of the road is, and first of all, I'm not sure if I'm middle of the road, but I try not to be extremely partisan. The Republicans in today's world are extremely partisan, so I have little in common with them. And I have little in common with the policies they put forward. I think the last public policy that the Republicans pushed that was meritorious was the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act of 1972. And that was during a Republican administration, but with a Democratic Congress. And so, I would agree with Tom that as far as platforms are concerned, as far as policies are concerned, the Republican Party has done absolutely nothing for the benefit of Tom, Dick, and Mary of the sort that I'm talking about, investments in child daycare and preschool education, in healthcare access, in the things that are fundamentally important investments for American people. And, I think we've got a bankrupt process,
Sandy,
particularly
in
the Republican Party.
You said 1972, man. I was 18 years old, man. That's a long time ago. But anyway, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Don't let the handshake and the smile fool you. Take my advice. I'm on. Smiling faces, smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies. And I got proof.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Picketing has begun at Kaiser Permanente hospitals across the country. 75,000 workers are expected to walk out, among them Damaris Reyes near San Francisco.
They have a lot of employees that are very knowledgeable with a lot of potential. And the fact that they don't want to invest and they don't want to bargain in good faith is very disappointing.
Lawmakers in the House are scrambling to figure out next moves after Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted by members of his own Republican Party. California's Doug LaMalfa was not among them.
On our side, the infighting is just really destructive. And for anybody that's a Republican, I don't blame you for being disgusted by what's going on here.
There's something new you can use a rideshare for. CBS's Cammie McCormick has details.
Uber said today its drivers will collect up to 5 prepaid and sealed packages and drop them off at a local post office, UPS, or FedEx store.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A judge has upheld the rights of parents in a dispute concerning a school district's gender policy. The Waukesha County judge recently ruled against Kettle Moraine Schools for their handling of a middle school girl's social transition at school. The judge said that the case wasn't about parental control, but rather about parental authority to make medical decisions for their children. Cameras will be rolling, and eventually a national audience will be able to watch the Violent Femmes play with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. Pete Schwaba has more.
The upcoming concert at the Bradley Symphony Center in Milwaukee will be featured on Milwaukee PBS as part of a partnership between public television and the MSO. The concert celebrates the 40th anniversary of the band's self-titled debut album. Milwaukee PBS plans to distribute the program to PBS stations across the country.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs.
So do I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams has joined me for the first hour this morning to give some commentary on, you know, what took place yesterday. And Sandy, before we go back to the phone lines, this is what former Speaker Newt Gingrich had to say. Getz obviously hates House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and that's fine. If Getz were simply a loudmouth junior member who attacked McCarthy every day, that would be fine too. He would just be isolated with a small group of lawmakers who can't figure out how to get things done. They'd huddle together seeking warmth and reassurance from their fellow incompetents, Gingrich wrote in a Washington Post op-ed on yesterday. But Getz has gone beyond regular drama, Gingrich wrote. He is destroying the House GOP's ability to govern and draw a sharp contrast with policy disasters of the Biden administration. Now let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate listening to, you know, non-Republicans tell Republicans what they believe.
Newt Gingrich is Newt Gingrich a non-Republican? I just read what Newt Gingrich had to say.
I agree with most of what Newt said.
Okay, well, what are you talking about?
Republicans are trying to get our fiscal house and our sovereignty protected because we're watching the Democrats and President Biden.
CJ, President Biden was not even mentioned yesterday. What transpired in the House Republican, where the Republicans control it, was the bloodbath. You want to talk about the Democrats and Joe Biden. What about what transpired yesterday with Republicans?
The infighting yesterday is exactly over what Gates believes that McCarthy should have taken. The 8% across the board that Sandy speaks of takes us back to pre-pandemic spending. And that is a reasonable thing. The big thing was that border policy was grouped in with
CJ, funding. Again, what does that have to do with the decision that was made to get rid of McCarthy yesterday?
The deal that was made, Gates said, the deal that was made about Ukraine spending not being separated is what drove them to do it. The Republicans believe in borders. They believe in sovereignty. Why are we spending trillions of dollars over in Ukraine when we aren't protecting our own?
CJ, the majority of the conservatives, I watched them yesterday, Republicans, supported what McCarthy did. Only a handful of Republicans did not. So the majority of the conservatives agreed with McCarthy. What are you talking about?
Earl, you aren't hearing me. You aren't hearing me. What Gates is fighting for is what the Republicans said that he made a deal on spending. This is, you call it infighting. I call it fighting for exactly what Gates and McCarthy want. They're fighting for a secure border.
They weren't fighting for the same thing because Gates got rid of McCarthy. If they were fighting for the same thing, they would be on the same page.
You can fight for the same thing, or you want the same thing, but how you get there, Earl,
CJ, it's not the thank way you. That... Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I don't know. Lindsey Graham has a disagreement about whether those things, border and Ukraine, ought to be linked. The Republicans don't have unity on these issues. CJ has an opinion, which apparently he shares with the likes of Matt Gaetz, which doesn't mean that that's what Republicans think. Now, if Republicans wanted to be responsible about the budget, they wouldn't have an across-the-board cut, because cutting by 8% across the board might take gross expenditures down to that level, but each program has not increased by 8% in that time period. So cutting them all by 8% is a dull sword. You know, it's a big, broad, swathing sword, not the kind that thoughtful people with the public interest in mind would use. Across-the-board cuts are simple-minded and are political gestures. It's theater. It's not.
Well, you know, Sandy, yesterday I spent a whole hour going over where the spending is, where it goes, and all of those things. And yet, you know, to hear this, you know, again, ill-informed person say that cutting across the board is somehow the answer. Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. How are you?
All right. Your thoughts?
You always cut CJ off. Why do you answer his phone call? Is it good for your ratings or what? You never let him finish.
Hey, Ken.
Every day you.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you finish. Thank you very much for the call. You know, I mean, again, it's not about CJ, okay? But
to be honest with you, just to run an orderly show, call-ins can't just have soliloquies. They need to make a point, and not many points. I mean, I think the only problem we have with CJ is he tends to go on a sort of a diatribe rant that brings up all kinds of issues, right? So he converted the McCarthy debacle, the selection of the speaker, into a diatribe about sovereign borders,
yes,
and the budget. And yes, the Republicans have those issues, but it isn't those issues that wrench them apart with respect to their speaker. And so, you know, to use any excuse as an opening wedge to talk at length about something, just can't have an orderly radio show. So I think the answer to Ken is that, well, in an effort to have an orderly radio show, we accept the calls from CJ. We let him make points, but callers aren't free to just call in and make any and all points. It's not their show.
No, you know, Sandy, it is nonsensical to make a statement that Gates or Getz or however his name is pronounced and McCarthy were on the same page. It's not true. Go ahead.
Well, they're from the furthest from the same page. Getz has been an adversary to McCarthy since before he was elected speaker. So the two of them don't agree. And I think the problem that McCarthy has expressed about Getz is that he doesn't really have policies in mind. He has headlines in mind, and that he doesn't get beyond headlines. And I think it's proven by the fact that he unseated McCarthy, but doesn't have a suggestion as to who he wants to put into McCarthy's place.
Yeah, they asked him over and over yesterday. As Sandy, again, use your verbiage, what is the end game? He couldn't come up. I don't know. There isn't one right now. You know.
That's the problem.
Let's bring Gary from Sussex on. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
I just caught the last 10 seconds of CJ. But, you know, Sandy, you just said, or you guys both agreed, that Getz doesn't have anybody that he has in mind. No, he mentioned, I listened to Fox this morning, he had like 8 people that he mentioned to take over the speakership.
Yeah, but do those people want it? You can throw any names you want to throw out, Gary. That doesn't mean they want it.
Yeah. Nobody in the right mind in today's society would ever want to be Speaker of the House or President of the United States.
Okay, but McCarthy did. He did. He was the Speaker. Okay? So you saying he wasn't in his right mind? He was there. He wanted it.
I know, but you know something? Every single person that was ever Speaker of the House, once they're done, they're just worn out because everybody hates them. Because you have to
everybody
be, you have
didn't
to work
hate,
on both sides.
Everybody didn't hate McCarthy. I'm sorry. I saw the debates yesterday, and you know, over 200 Republicans supported him. 210.
You lose your popularity, you know. That's what it is. When I use the word hate, no. They don't really like you or really respect you, but they're glad that you have the job because nobody else.
Did you hear them speak on behalf of him yesterday, man? Did you watch it?
I watched.
Okay, I watched it. Those Republicans spoke on behalf of McCarthy. The masses of them did. They supported him.
The fact is, they don't, because the Republicans look like a bunch of goofballs right now with all the infighting. And they don't want that. That's not really good for our party. And the Democrats are just—they're loving it, you know. And I'd be loving it if the Democrats were just falling on unstable ground and stuff like that. I'd be thrilled too. So, you know, and the Republicans don't want it. I don't like this look. I hate this look. You know, we look like a bunch of bozos out there. You know, you can't get your own house together. It's ridiculous. And putting your dirty laundry out for everybody to see, that's not going to help the Republicans in 2024.
All right.
Sandy, what do you think?
All right, Gary, thank you for the call. Sandy?
Well, Gary, I agree with you. I think the problem Republicans have is that they have an empty cupboard of policies from under which they can unify. I think what unifies parties are platforms in which there is an agreement about important public policies to be adopted. And I think when that cupboard is empty, you end up with personality clashes and power clashes. And I think that's the danger of what Trump has done. Trump emptied the Republican cupboard of any policies upon which they could unite, leaving them only with tax reductions and not any other policies, right? And Tom, Dick, and Mary ultimately need the government to address real policies. And I think it's the emptiness of the policy debate that leaves them in a clash of personalities and a cult situation that is untenable for a party. So I agree with the caller. I think that this is very destructive for the Republican Party, but I think it's the result of a vacuum in the party of actual policy.
You know, Sandy, the fact that Gary and you're talking about what the Republicans have as policies, here's in today's New York Times, this is what the issues that can hurt Democrats and that the Republicans own these issues. Here are the issues: crime, carjacking, shoplifting, liberal prosecutors, and migrants. This is what a guest speaker for the New York Times conservative by the name of by Thomas B. Edsel. He's contributes to a weekly column for Washington D.C. on politics, demographics, and inequality. He said these are the issues that they can win on. And your thoughts, Sandy?
Well, yeah, those were essentially the issues that Richard Nixon decided to adopt in the Southern Strategy and the Law and Order movement. And the interesting thing about those is those are really not federal issues at all, right? They're local issues.
Right.
The liberal DAs, the crime in the cities. Now, crime in the city might well relate to some federal issues because undoubtedly you do a correlation of where crime exists and who the criminals are and it relates very directly to poverty. So, rooting out the causes of poverty and then trying to attack the causes of poverty would have a great deal to do with how much crime we would experience in the city, but we don't see people spending a lot of time on that anymore. Attacking poverty has become sort of an unpopular issue. At least it's unspoken. We don't hear much about it.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. The phone lines are open. You can join us. My co-host on Mondays and Fridays is here, Sandy Williams, and you can join us. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. In the morning, we could tease one another, and then just walk away. And walk with the dream to hold, and we could taste what the world. We don't have too much. There's no tomorrow here. There's only love and the time. But we had yesterday. Yesterday's gone, my love. There's only now, and it's time to face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, it was Sam's first day flying solo because Aaron said he was going bear hunting. Aaron's not here this morning.
He's
so
not.
It's either Aaron doesn't need to be here or Aaron's been eaten by a bear.
Gosh, I'd sure hope that Aaron hasn't been eaten by a bear.
Well, he's not there. Now I'm just afraid that if we ring up his phone somewhere out there, Mrs. Bear is going to elbow Mr. Bear and go, is your tummy rumbling?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and three TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 78. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 55. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Hey.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Yeah, fire is going on. Sandy, how in the world is it possible? Let's say today, the Republicans in the Congress organize. Can he organize without the speaker? They still have to govern, right? But can they really organize? They've got this guy.
Well, they have a speaker. They have an interim speaker.
Right.
They can do anything if they decide to. I mean, the speaker, there is a person with a gavel, and a person with the gavel can lead an organization. But the problem is the organization is going to be mired in the process of picking its next speaker. So while they're doing that, they'll be totally distracted. I mean, so far the Republican Congress has decided to focus on a whole bunch of things that keep it from being able, you know, CJ talks about dealing with the southern border. Well, all we hear about is complaints about it, but we don't have a policy proposal, piece of legislation that the Republicans have cohesively gotten behind that is a comprehensive bill to deal with immigration, right? So There could be solutions talked about, but instead all they do is point fingers and describe problems and get emotional. And, you know, I think that CJ, unfortunately, lacks a party that's giving him the information about proposals that they have, so that all that's left is the ability to get angry about situations. And that's sort of that's out of the Donald Trump playbook. Let's get everyone angry about situations, but let's not talk about solutions other than promising in some completely theoretical and sense that they're going to solve it. I'm going to solve this horrible situation. How are you going to do it? You just wait and see.
Well, you know, Sandy, I was talking with, you know, a guy who calls in on yesterday, and he was talking about, well, we got to just start with a 2% cut across the board. And I said, yesterday, Sandy, I went through all of the spending and basically talked about discretionary spending, which is 14% of the budget, and included in that 14% of, non-discretionary spending in that 14% is the border and the Border Patrol agents. And so when you say
so they cut 8% across the board,
So, I mean, they have no clue as to what they're talking about, Sandy, in depth. And so it's easy to say, cut this, cut that. And in that non-discretionary spending, I went down the list of all the things that they're asking to cut. And even if you cut that non-discretionary spending, Sandy, 8% across the board, so it's not going to impact the bottom line debt that we owe.
Right. I mean, the only way to affect the deficit is to take on areas of big expenditure and to consider the implications with respect to foreign policy, I mean, with respect to public policy and with respect to the investment in America, right? In Americans,
right?
And to have across the board cuts is just rhetoric, and it's not the solution, because it does things like cutting the border guards. It does things like
it cuts all kinds of things, child support, and it
cuts things that ought to be expanded, and leaves things in place only 8% less of things that probably ought not to be there.
Dealing with the elderly, all those things.
Yeah, so it doesn't address, it isn't tenable, and therefore it's theater. And what needs to happen is they need to roll up their sleeves and figure out, first of all, how much taxes have to go up, because you can't get there by cutting expenditures. And number two, they have to figure out what they want to do about the defense budget, which swallows an enormous portion of the budget and is the least likely to be viewed as an investment in people. The other expenditures that are, you know, like Social Security, really? I mean,
healthcare, Medicare.
Medicare. We have to figure out how we support those programs. Maybe they have to be redesigned slightly. I mean, maybe affluent people, wealthy people, ought not to get Social Security. And right now they get it and are taxed on it. But it probably means nothing to them. I guarantee you, when Jeff Bezos turns 65, he's not going to notice Social Security check he gets.
The quickest fix is raise the taxes on the uber rich. Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Thanks for what you do, Earl and Sandy, because without you guys, there's no lighthouse on the ocean. We have no direction without you guys. One thing you could try, I've often wondered, you know, there's an old saying, either you're part of the problem or part of the solution. It's your choice. Have a call-in time where you ask people to call in with a concrete meat potatoes solution to some of these problems. Not talking about the other party, not bashing anybody, how you would change things in government. We always talk about the bashing. We always point fingers. But how about some solutions? It's time for solutions. It's time for action. If a coalition like that could spread across our country, I think it would clean up politics completely. Thanks for the time. I want to hear your point of view.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to Bill?
Well, that's right on my playbook. I think what we ought to be talking about is, if there's a problem, the first thing we talk about, other than expanding and arm-waving anger about the problem, is what solutions? Let's start looking for solutions. Let's start looking at options, and let's not just point fingers about the problem. And that's what's wrong with politics right now. Bill's absolutely right. We don't get beyond the finger-pointing, particularly on the Republican side. The Democrats, I mean, Barack Obama, to his credit, bit off a very big bite when he took on the health care issue. And, you know, the main thing he accomplished was maybe the most important thing, which was pre-existing conditions are no longer a
harbinger on what the cost is of health insurance.
Right.
You know, Sandy, Bill is correct. And, you know, it's difficult enough for us to do it as citizens, but that has to happen, you know, with the elected officials.
Well, absolutely. And we are, you know, I think we should try to hold callers to the discussion of the solution and not the problem. And you know, if the solution is 8% across the board budget cuts, we ought to talk then about, okay, well, what does that mean for the budget cut for border guards and what have you? And let's look at the implications of policies so we can try and hold people's feet to the fire about talking about policies that are real policies and not theatrics, not just an arm wave. And then we could get going someplace. And both parties need to do more of this, but certainly the Republican Party has been empty of it. And I would suggest that it's Donald Trump that emptied the cupboard of the Republican Party with respect to actual policy.
Hey, Sandy, thank you, man. We'll see you on Friday.
Okay, nice talking.
Thank you. All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.